basically what we've been trying to do is to have like a 360 degree view of what I would call the devil demonology, in quote, from a very biblical perspective, so that we're aware of the limitations of the devil and demons, and we're aware of the authority that God has given us. The Bible says that my people are destroyed because of lack of knowledge. Now, what that means is that a lot of the time, the things that we look at, well, the perspectives we have about, you know, these things is informed by how much we know from a biblical perspective, not just from hearsay, not just from popular culture, but from what the Bible actually says. So that's the background. So today we're doing the fourth part, and this is kind of like the final section that I'm going to be looking at. And I've called today's section, well, personal and silent spiritual warfare. Personal and silent spiritual warfare. And the description for this topic is how these demonic spirits try to access believers, and how we as believers can live above and beyond the tactics that they use. Now, if you remember in one of the sessions that we looked at on another series, I mentioned that people who are born again cannot be possessed by demons. Only people who are not born again can be possessed by demons, because when you're born again, the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of you. So that means the Holy Spirit will not coexist with any, you know, demonic spirit. But I mentioned that even though these spirits cannot possess a believer, they try and access believers, they try and harass believers, so on and so forth. So today, what I'm going to be looking at is how do these demons try and access us as believers, and how do we live above that? So that's why I've given it like this very snappy title called Personal and Silent Spiritual Warfare. Because all the things I'm going to be discussing today, they're things that relate to you and I as individuals. And you're the only one that can do this for yourself. Pastor can do it for you. Apostle can do it for you. Your brother can't do it for you. Your sister can't do it for you. So it's really personal. They're things that you have to take to heart personally and apply in your own life as a believer, so that you can live beyond and above all the tricks that the devil, you know, constantly throws at us. So I'll read Matthew chapter 12, verses 43 to 45 again. And this is the fourth part of the defeated kingdom of Satan series that we're looking at, focusing on this. And I'll read Matthew chapter 12, verse 43 to 45. When an impure spirit comes out of a person, it goes through arid places, seeking rest, and does not find it. Then it says, I will return to the house I left. When it arrives, it finds the house unoccupied, swept clean, and put in order. Then it goes and takes with it seven other spirits more wicked than itself, and they go in and live in there, and the final condition of that person is worse than the first. That is how it is with this wicked generation. So that's just like the background I gave, Jesus describing a particular scenario there. So focusing on today's topic of the personal and silent spiritual warfare, and I've said looking at this, what we're looking at is how do these spirits try and access us as believers? What's their approach? So that's what we're going to look at today. Now, there are four areas that I want to look at under this category. However, because of the time, I'm just going to focus on two today. Then next week, I'll focus on the other two. So the four areas I want to look at where these spirits try and access believers is, I'll say the mind, your mind, my mind, our emotions, our body, and our spirit. I'll repeat that. Our minds, our emotions, our bodies, and spirit. So today I'm going to look at our mind and our emotions. Next week, in the next session, I'll look at our bodies and our spirit. And I believe that if we can take these things to heart, our lives will be really easier. Well, let me not say easier. It will be less stressful. We'll be able to live above the tactics that the enemy, you know, silently uses. And we're not even aware sometimes. So today we're going to look at our mind and our mind and our emotions in the context of this. So under each category, I want to look at four things. So I want to look at what these spirits, what they do, their intention, how they do it, and how we can live above that. So for each one, I'm looking at the mind. I'm going to look at how these spirits do what they do. Number one, the intention, their intention for doing what they do. The third, how they do it. And the fourth, how we overcome that, or how we live above that. So we're starting with the mind today. So the first thing I want to say is this about the mind. How do these spirits try to affect our minds? Well, now, if we look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 to 4, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 to 4, it says, "For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of this world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds." So this tells us something straight away about the fact that we have that there is a spiritual battle going on for your mind, for my mind, for the mind of everybody actually. But it's just that for the believer, we've crossed over from one state and we're in a new state. However, this says that we live in this world. The war we wage is a real one. And the Bible tells us here that it is not the way we win it is not based on how smart we are. We don't use the strategies of the world. It is through the strategies that the Bible has actually prescribed for us. So the first thing we note there is this, that there is something that these spirits try to do to you and I, and that is they try to influence our minds. Now, what do they try and influence our minds for or how? Well, they try to encourage non-biblical values in our minds. They try to affect our thinking pattern. And, you know, when you begin to influence someone's mind, it will just filter down to every area of their lives. So this is the first thing that we see, that these spirits are constantly trying to, you know, affect the minds of believers. Well, everybody, but they try and affect the minds of believers as well. And what do they try and do? Well, a number of things. They try and, you know, basically give us all kinds of opinions and attitudes about ourselves. And they try and inform our world view as well, how we view the world. Now, for us as believers, the Bible says that we have been saved by grace through faith. That means you're a new person in Christ. That means your old life no longer exists. Once you're in Christ, it says that you're a new creation. All things have passed away. All things have become new. However, what the spirits try and do is they try and influence our minds so that we do not actually, so that we can't come into the reality of what God has done in us as, you know, believers. And they will propagate things like giving us low self-esteem, pride. So you'll be like, "Who are you? You're a useless person. There is nothing good about you. Nobody cares about you. And that you can never amount to anything." Meanwhile, the Bible doesn't say that about you and I. The Bible says that, you know, we've been blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Bible says that we are beloved of God. The Bible says that we are precious in the sight of God. We're the apple of God's eye. The Bible says that when we call out, he will hear us. So that's what God tells us, says about us. But they propagate these opinions about you that is not biblical and that are not true at all, just to, you know, get into your mind to, you know, propagate these thinking patterns. The Bible refers to these thinking patterns as strongholds. A stronghold is when someone you know, adopts a particular way of thinking. Maybe that's the way they grew up. Maybe that's, I mean, that's the, that's how they've been informed. Like a lot of us have been informed. And that pattern of thinking now becomes part of them. However, that pattern of thinking as it relates to every area of life is might not be biblical. Do you understand what I mean? So it's a stronghold that forms a pattern of thinking that is not biblical. So that's what these spirits are trying to do to us, to give us these patterns of thinking that are not biblical about ourselves and about the world around us. So that's what they try and do. Now, the second one is, what's the intention? Why do they try and give us these thinking patterns that are not biblical? Why do they try and give us these opinions about other people and particularly about ourselves that are negative, that are, you know, not true at all from God's point of view? Well, their intention is this. Well, there's so many intentions, but one key intention is this, and it is Ephesians chapter 4, verse 13. It says, until we reach the rich unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. So the intention of this for the believer, why the spirits try and influence our minds? For unbelievers is a different approach. I'm not talking about that tonight. I'm talking about us. They influence, or they try and influence our mind so that we will not, they hope that we will not be able to grow into Christ. It would be like our growth in Christ to be stunted so that we can't, we won't be able to see what Christ has actually done for us. Do you understand what I mean? So the intention is to stop us in our tracks. So it's like someone saying, okay, we escaped their devices and we became born again. No problem. Now, what they're now saying is, okay, even if now that this person is born again and we cannot possess them, we know what we'll do. We will stunt their growth. We will try and paint life. We'll try and paint life in such a manner to distort their view of who they really are in Christ, so that their growth, their knowledge of Christ will be stunted because they have a wrong thinking pattern. So that's how they try to influence us. So the intention is to stunt our growth spiritually, to keep us in a place where we begin to think that all the things God has said concerning us, they're not true, but they are true because that's what God says. So their intention is to stop you and I from growing, from appreciating and understanding what Christ has done for us. Do you understand? So that's how, that's the intention. Now, the third thing, how do they do it? How do these spirits do it? And, you know, I described that Satan has like a vast network that he has set up. The Bible says that the prince of the power of the air is the one that works, that controls the world. The world. And the world, when it says the world systems. So some of the ways that these spirits try and do it in a very coordinated fashion is by influencing and, should I say, manipulating what we read, what we watch on media. And what they do often is to whisper to our minds. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, what I mean by that is this. You are what you watch, what you listen to, and what you read. You have grown up from being a child to being a teenager, an adult, so on and so forth. The way you are now, the way I am now, is based on the information that I've received since I was a young person growing up, my response to culture, my attitudes, my opinions. They've been formed by a lot of things. And one of the things that forms that opinion very strongly nowadays is media. You might not really get the effect of media on your life and on my life and on our opinions, but media has a very strong influence on our minds and we don't know it. So media is like a tutor for us. Then obviously the things that we read as well. And these things, they use these things to try and influence us to think, you know, to coordinate our thinking pattern into believing that certain things are the right way to live. Meanwhile, they're not. Do you understand? And 1 John chapter 2, verse 16 says something. 1 John chapter 2, verse 16. It says, for everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, they do not come from the Father, but from the world. So it says they manipulate things around us in terms of what we watch, the films that they create all over the place. And they use the things that, you know, we see. They put these things in us, you know, why don't you be like that movie star, or this is the way you should respond, so on and so forth. So what we listen to, what we accept as truth from media, from the things we read, those are some of the things that these spirits use to try and kind of like fashion our thinking pattern a bit. And I remember a while ago, after I became born again, just to illustrate the effect of media, and when you're watching, you know, a film and stuff like that, one needs to be quite sensitive and careful. Now, I'm not even talking about X-rated films or films that are in quote that you would consider bad. You know, we don't watch those kind of films. I'm just talking about regular films, sitcoms, all these things that just go on, like your regular TV program that you'd, you know, come back home from work, put your leg up, and you do, you switch on your TV and you just watch it. The kids are there, you know, so nothing extraordinary, not like a thriller or an action movie or someone jumping up and down. No, just like your regular movies. So the example I wanted to give about the influence of media on our thinking that we're not aware of is this. I remember that I was watching a film. How did you get this? I was watching a film and there was this guy, one of my favorite actors then, and this guy was he was an art thief. So what he would do, he would break into these art galleries, then just nick, okay, nick is an English phrase, I'm not going to use nick, just steal these paintings, escape through the roof, then sell it at a profit. So in this particular, so it got to this particular stage where this guy had been, someone had tipped off the police that this man was going to steal a painting. Actually, his assistant thief had tipped off the police so they could nab the guy and he could steal the painting and go on his own. But that's not the crux of what I'm about to say. What I'm about to say is this. This is me, born again. You know, I love God. Everything is good. And I'm watching this film. And do you know what begins to happen? The police come and they screech. You know, they're there. Hands up. You're surrounded. The building is surrounded. And at that point, I just, you know, I'm on the edge of my seat and I'm just watching, I'm watching. And this guy is running. You're surrounded. And this guy manages to find like a tunnel, goes through the tunnel, and he's trying to escape. Do you know the point here? In my heart, I was saying, let this guy escape. I almost prayed that God, let this guy escape. And I said, hang on, what's going on here? How can I be thinking like this? How can I be almost praying that a thief who stole somebody's property, deprived them of it, probably shot someone on the way, escaped? So in my heart, I was wishing that a thief would escape from the police after he stole something. Now, someone might say, come on, that's just a film, you know, aren't you taking a bit too far past the Benson, so on and so forth. No, the point I'm trying to make is that we cannot separate our, who we are, our, if I use the word subconscious, from the reality of life. So you can't say you have a particular perspective about something that is happening in a film or something that is happening outside of you, and that thing is not your opinion about it is not influenced by the Bible. Anyway, there's so many examples I can give. So what I'm just saying is that these things are programmed in our subconscious in such a way that in our minds, we're like, I love God. You know, Bible says don't steal. You have all that in your mind, but in your heart, because all these things are just putting all these things there, you begin to approve things that the Bible says as wrong. You know, how does that happen? It happens because your heart has been programmed by the things that you watched, the things that you've been reading, to believe something or to pass over something that the Bible says has been really wrong. So I'm talking about your mind. These are the things that happen to our minds. Do you understand? So I said, we're looking at the mind. How do these spirits do what they do? What they do, I've said they try and encourage us to inculcate, you know, and they encourage non-biblical values in our thinking. They try and, you know, make us think in a particular way. Their intention is to stop us from growing fully into Christ. And they do it by basically the things, everyday things, what we watch, what we read, what we listen to. Those things have a strong effect on us. The other thing as well is that sometimes they'll whisper into our ears, or no, not whisper into our ears. They will give us thoughts. You know, certain thoughts will just appear in your mind. Why don't I do this? Now, how do I know that? If you look at 1 Chronicles chapter 21, when, you know, you can read the whole of 1 Chronicles 21. But I want to look at just verse 1. Something interesting happened with David here, talking about how these spirits give us ideas or thoughts that we don't even give it a second thought. And we think, okay, I'll do that. But meanwhile, these thoughts are coming from the devil himself. But they're so subtle. Now, if the devil says, go and steal something at Sainsbury's, and you get that thought, you know straight away, I mean, that's, you know, if you're a Pentecostal, you're like, bind you, devil, throw those thoughts out of my mind. I'm not talking about those kind of thoughts. Those are very obvious. Look at this, look at David here. Something happened to King David in the Bible here. A thought came to him, and he didn't see anything wrong with that thought. But see who gave him that thought. 1 Chronicles chapter 21 and verse 1. It says, Satan rose up against Israel and he incited David to take a census of Israel. What am I talking about here? Satan incited David to count the army, the total number of people in the army of Israel at that time. And you're like, what's the big deal about that? I mean, and what's wrong with him counting the number of people in his army? Now, the challenge here is this. David was doing this because of pride. Now, all the battles that David had won, God was the one that won them for him. So it wasn't really that David was a strategic planner or, you know, no, it was just that God helped him. That was just it. God helped him in all the battles that he had fought. Do you understand what I mean? But in this case, he wanted to count the number of Israel, the number of the people in the army, so he could say, yeah, I have 2 million people in my army. And he now begins to shift the focus from God is one that's helped me to win all these wars to, yeah, I'm, you know, my army is really good. Now, if you don't really look at that closely, it's like, what's the big deal? Now, that is pride. And David paid very dearly for this. But when David had that thought, David probably thought, what's the big deal? Let me just do this. Yeah, I mean, it's good. Let me see how good I am. But the Bible tells us that it was Satan. We read it clearly here in 1 Chronicles 21. It was Satan that put that thought in his mind. A whisper. Pride. I'm good. Do you understand what I mean? So that's one thing that the devil and his, you know, these spirits, they whisper these things in our mind. The other good example is if you look at Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 to 4. Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 to 4. This is the devil talking to Eve. The same approach. And he says, now the serpent was more crafty than any other wild animals the Lord had made. And he said to the woman, conversation starts. Did God really say you must not eat from any fruit in the garden? And the woman made the biggest mistake of responding. The woman said to the serpent, we may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did not say you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden. You must not touch it or you will die. You will not certainly die, the serpent told the woman. God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So, see what happened here. You know, I said that these spirits, they try and encourage non-biblical values and thinking patterns in us. I've said they use the media to ingrain these things in us, some things that we read and watch. And the other thing is that they throw these thoughts at us. But we're not aware that these thoughts are not from you and they're not from God. We'll look at how we handle these things when they happen to us. So Satan began to speak to Eve. Come on, relax. Do you think God really has good plans for you? I'm paraphrasing. All these things you've been going to this church now for how many years or whatever, and look at what your life is like. You've been going, does God really even have anything planned? In fact, this church thing that you're going to, is it real? Isn't it just fake? Relax, take it easy. Let your life, you know, you can do church a bit and do like nightclubs a bit. Enjoy your life. Do you understand what I mean? Those are the thoughts that come to us. Thoughts that seem casual, thoughts that seem harmless, but really is the devil and his spirits at work, giving us these thoughts, trying to suggest these things to us in a manner that is very casual. And what's the aim? The aim is so that they can begin to establish certain thinking patterns in our minds that are not godly, don't give us the right perspective of what God or of how God sees us. So same trick that the devil used with Eve, same one he used on David the other time, that's what he's still using with his cohorts. So I come to the final part of the mind. How do we live above these devices? How do we, you know, live as believers where we don't buy in into the ways of the devil? We don't buy in into the subtle suggestions of these spirits, these demonic spirits. Very, very, very subtle. Either using culture, either, you know, giving us thoughts that are, you know, not from God. How do we deal with this particular situation? Very simple. God has already, you know, given us a way. And two things I want to mention today. And it appears that I'm going to end with this one. I don't even think I'll be able to do emotions today. Now, two things. How do we deal with this situation with our minds? These are things that have helped me immensely. These are things that once I became born again, suddenly I understood it. Do you understand what I mean? Now, two things I want to mention here. The first thing you and I need to realize is this. And this is really, it's really important. Not all the thoughts that you have are your thoughts. Do you know what I mean? So the thing is this, there are certain thoughts that will come to your mind and you might think that you are the person thinking those thoughts. Meanwhile, you're not the person. It is these spirits that are giving you those thoughts. Also, you realize that God also speaks to us. So, I can summarize it as this. There are three sources of thoughts that come to every human being. Born again, not born again, three types of thoughts come from three different sources. Now, the first source of thoughts is you as an individual, where you sit down and you're thinking about certain things. So every human being thinks. So the first source of thoughts is you. The thoughts emanating from you, from your mind, it's you. Now, the second type of thoughts are thoughts from God, from God. So those thoughts are the thoughts that spoke to you, that you became born again when God convicted your heart. Those are the thoughts that you have when you're reading the Bible and God is speaking to you through the Bible. Those are the thoughts that sometimes you just out of the blues you get. God speaks to us through our minds as well. And the last source of thought is the devil and evil spirits. They also, put these thoughts in people's minds. And the sad thing is this, a lot of people do not know that is the devil that is giving them the thoughts. They think it's me thinking that way. No, it's not you. For example, there are people who they might just be having suicidal thoughts. End it. Kill yourself. Why are you wasting time? There's no point continuing. Just go and kill yourself. I know people that have phoned me before and they've said, you know what, Pastor, I'm about to kill myself. And I say, my goodness, what kind of thing is this? And I tell them, don't do that. Just relax. In fact, there are people who have told me before that, Pastor, this is what I want to do. And I tell them straight away, hang on, those are not your thoughts, mister. Those are not your thoughts. Rewind. And they're now like, hang on, that is true. Those are not my thoughts. So people get these thoughts and these thoughts go and kill yourself. You're worthless. You never amount to anything. These people, they don't really care about you. And you will think that you are the person thinking that way. Meanwhile, you are not. There are times that you might think that way. But when it becomes like that all the time, it's probably not you thinking that way. It is the devil or the spirit putting these thoughts into your mind. So you need to realize that not every thought that comes to your mind is you. It's not. Now, why am I stressing on this before I say the last thing concerning this topic? If you believe that thoughts, these bad, evil thoughts are from you, then you begin to take responsibility for them and do them because it's like you, but it's not. But if you realize that this thought is from the devil, even if it looks nice, then you know that they're not your thoughts and you can just kill those thoughts in their stride. And the more you do that, the easier it is for you. The easier it will be for you to walk in what God has for you, because it will just, silence those thoughts and you'll be more open to the thoughts of God. Now, so how do we deal with these devices? Recognizing that three sources of thoughts come to our mind. Now, the second thing, and this is where I'm going to end, is this. How do we deal with these things in our minds? Well, the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, Romans chapter 12, verse 2. It says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what is God's what God's perfect will is, his good and pleasing and perfect will. So this tells us that as believers, what we need to do is we take our Bibles and we read the Bible. Now, when we read the Bible, what we're doing is that we're finding out what God has to say about us, how God expects us to think, how God expects us to behave in different circumstances. And that's how we do it. So what that means is that the more open you are to the Bible and reading the Bible, the more you begin to know that, okay, this is what God says about me. God says that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, Philippians 4:13. God says that 2 Corinthians 5:17, that if anyone is in Christ, I'm a new creation, all things have passed away. Do you understand? The more of the Bible you know, the Bible says that you're beloved of God. The Bible says that you have an eternal hope. The Bible says so many things. The Bible says he has not given you the spirit of fear, but of love, power, and of sound mind. So the more of these things you know from the Bible and that you read from the Bible and embrace, the more you'll be able to correct any thinking pattern or stand against any thinking pattern that is from the devil. Do you understand what I mean? So the more we do this, and the last thing is this, and that same second Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3-4, also tells us there that when these thoughts come, what we do is this, we evaluate that thought. If that thought does not conform to the Bible or God's perspective about us, what do? It says we cast it down. Get rid of the thought straight away. Don't even dwell on it. Get rid of the thought. And the thing you want to do is just to focus on what the Bible says, not on what you feel, not on your own opinion, because your opinion might not be the right opinion, but what the Bible's opinion is about that particular thing. Amen. I'm going to stop tonight. I thought I'll be able to do emotions, but I won't be able to. So tonight, we've looked at the first part of, well, this is part four of the series, but we're looking at personal and silent spiritual warfare. How do these demonic spirits try and access believers? And I've described here, the first one I've looked at is how they try and access our minds. And I've looked at four things. I've said, how do they do it? They try and, you know, establish this incorrect thinking patterns in our minds and incorrect opinions about ourselves. And I said the intention is so that we never grow in Christ, so that we never really come to the full relationship that God has ordained for us, you know, in our new life. The third thing is, how do they do it? I said it's by media, what we read, so on and so forth. These things just plant all these subliminal thoughts in our heart. And our heart becomes full of what we read, what we participate in terms of recreation. That happens. And the last thing I looked at is the fact that two really simple things is that, one, we deal with it by recognizing that not all thoughts come from God. And not all thoughts come from you. Some of these thoughts come from the devil and these spirits. And how do you know? Sieve it through with the Bible. And what do you do if any thought comes to your mind that is not, you know, in line with the Bible? Chuck it out of your mind. Simple. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 to 4. Get rid of the thought. Don't dwell on it. Don't even entertain it. Just get it out of your mind straight away. And I believe that as you do that, and as I do that, God will help us. Let us pray.